if you're new to Crossroads, and I know we've got probably several new folks today, I wanted to just say this isn't just what we're doing today. Every Sunday we give you a message handout so that you can take the message home with you. And at the top of the handout, you'll notice that it says Church Bible page number right under the title. Every Sunday we give you the Church Bible page number to save you time. The Church Bibles are under your seats, and so those are there for you to use. Here at Crossroads, we want you to learn the Bible and actually look into the Bible at what the Bible says, not just trust me. We want you to look into it. So feel free to always use those Bibles that are under your seats there. And you know, that song that they just did talks about friendship. And today's Friend Day, and this text is about friends. And so I want to start out by asking the question, how would you, and don't answer out loud, but think about it, how would you define the word friend? How would you define that? What's a friend? And they asked one little boy that question. I love kids. And they asked the little boy, said, what do you think a friend is? And he said, a friend is somebody who knows all about you and likes you just the same. And I thought, isn't that the truth? Kids have a way of just nailing it, you know. And I saw this little 35-second blurb here. I want you to notice these kids are asking about friendship. Watch this.
What's the most important quality in a best friend?
That you always listen to them. They don't talk behind your back. Caring, loving, kind. Because if you don't listen, they'll think that they're not important.
What's the difference between a best friend and just a friend?
A friend is just like, well, I'm not really helping you much, but it's not like I'm hurting you. But then a best friend, it's like, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you with blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to help you with this and that, blah, blah, blah. Would you guys agree everybody needs a friend? Amen? If you have a true friend, call yourself blessed. And if you don't, ask God to give you a good friend, because everybody needs a good friend, even Jesus. I want you to look at John 15 and look at verse 15. John 15, 15. Jesus tells his disciples, henceforth, in other words, from now on, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's an amazing verse. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and isn't it interesting that he established friendships? In this passage, Jesus Christ mentions the subject of friendship three different times. Jesus did not come to this earth with his nose in the air, acting like he didn't need anybody, and I'm the Son of God, and I'm from heaven, and I don't need anybody. I don't know why I'm doing an English accent for Jesus, but he was a Jew from the Mideast. But anyway, but yeah, I guess it's the only thing I know how to do is the English, so you know it comes out that way. But Jesus Christ didn't do that. He didn't go around with his nose in the air. He came to this earth and he established relationships, friendships with people like you and me. What did Jesus teach us to look for in a true friend? This particular subject today, I think that it touches on all of our lives in here, friendship. And I believe that it's important for a couple reasons. Number one is you need to know what to look for in a true friend. But then I would hope that you would also be concerned with being the right kind of friend to other people. And this message today is going to show us what Jesus Christ himself taught about true friendship. And I believe it's also going to demonstrate to us what it demonstrated to his disciples, that Jesus Christ is truly the best friend that a person could ever have. Now, what do we learn about friendship from Jesus Christ? The first thing is this. It's in your handout. Number one is this, is that Jesus Christ taught us that a true friend wants to spend time with you. A true friend wants to spend time with you. I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine that you got a friend that lives out of state. How many of you guys, I'm just curious, how many of you do have a friend that lives out of the state of Florida? Raise your hand. Wow, look at that. Okay, so almost everybody. Let's imagine that friend that you were just thinking about that lives out of state comes to Daytona and spends 5 days with their family in Daytona Beach, and they never call you one time. You find out about it later, and how do you feel? That was a close call, right? Man, I'm glad they didn't all pile in on me. Amen. No, you're hurt. You're hurt. You're like, could you not carve out at least one morning so we could go get coffee? I mean, what is up with that? I thought we were friends. Could you not carve out a little time for me? I mean, I know you're on vacation, but good night. That's ridiculous. You'd be hurt. Why? It's very simple. It's because friends spend time together. I want you to look at verse number 4 and notice what Jesus told his friends. He said in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You know what the word abide means? It carries the idea of spending time with. So Jesus Christ is, in essence, he's calling them to a close relationship. He says, guys, I want you to abide in me and I in you. I want to spend time with you. And I love the illustration that he uses. He says, I'm the vine and the tree trunk, if you will, and you are the branches. And he's saying, guys, I want you to attach yourself to me. I want you to. Just like a branch is attached to the tree, I want you to attach yourself to me. That is so awesome. What an invitation. I mean, you think about that illustration. A vine or the trunk of the tree, from that flows life to the branches. You know, a few days ago, I went out in my front yard and I cut down a branch off of the tree in my front yard. And this was a few days ago. And man, this thing is just terrible. Look at that. Isn't that the most pitiful thing you've ever seen in your life? I mean, when I cut it down, it looked more like that, because I just cut that down before I came to church today. And, you know, the leaves were open. The leaves were really, really soft, you know. And the leaves are just a pretty green. And now after a few days, you look at that. The leaves are just all closed up. They're all faded. They're all dried out. In fact, I mean, if you look, if I touch it, I mean, you can see it just, you know, it just crumbles. It's just, I'm making a mess too. My goodness. My wife's having a fit over there right now. But, you know, I mean, it's just come right off. I see you've got several under your seat that fell off. It's because they're all brittle. There's no life. There's no life flowing to the branch anymore. And Jesus Christ uses this illustration, and what he is saying to them is, he's saying, guys, I don't want it to be like this. He's saying, guys, I want you to attach yourself to me. I want you to abide with me. I want you to spend time with me. And he says, guys, I want to share my life with you. Just like the trunk of the tree flows life to those branches, I want to share my life with you. And what is the lesson here? Friendships should be a living, breathing, healthy relationship between two people. A true friendship does not drain you. A true friendship is not going to dry you out. A true friendship is going to impart life to you. And did you know that Christ desires that kind of friendship or relationship with you? He really does. I want you to look in your handout, and every week we'll put verses, cross-references in the handout, and I want you to look at that with me. Notice with me Revelation 3:20. Jesus is speaking, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the idea is, he's knocking on your heart's door. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you look at the next verse there, John 10:10, Jesus again is speaking. And he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, that's friendship. A friend wants to impart life. A friend wants to spend time with you. A friend wants to be an active part of your life. And that's what Christ wants to be in your life. He wants to abide in you and you in him. He doesn't want this to just be a Sunday thing that you take off the shelf on Sunday, you come to church, and then you go home, and then you put it back on the shelf again. He says, no, I want you to be like a branch that's abiding in the tree 7 days a week. I want you to abide in me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He said, I want a relationship and a friendship with you. I want to share my life with you so that you can have my life. I want to flow my life to you as a branch. I want to give you my resurrection life so that you can have an abundant life, so that you can have a resurrection life, so that you can have a vibrant life. And when you have a friendship with Jesus Christ, it connects you to the source of real life. Some people think that the Christian life is all about religion, and they think it's all about rules. You know, and a lot of people shy away from it. They shy away from church because they think, oh, religion's just a bunch of, Christianity's a bunch of religion. It's just a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. And it is not that at all. I want you to know it is not that. So if that is your idea of the Christian life, please just understand someone's misrepresented that to you or you've misunderstood, because the Christian life is not about religion and rules. In your handout, it says that the Christian life is about a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. Since I've become a Christian, man, I have had more fun than I ever had before I got saved. I want you to know, since I have become a Christian, I am having the time of my life. You say, why, Pastor Dan? Because I'm in a healthy, life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And he doesn't drain me, and he doesn't drag me down. He empowers me. He imparts life to me. He's like a trunk flowing life through to the branches. And here at Crossroads, we desire to share the friendship of Christ and that life with other people. Today, we're starting a brand new ministry, and we started it, actually. I believe it's at 9:45 is when it was. And it's a new ministry to special needs children. And many are so excited about this in our community because there's not a whole lot going on in the church community here in Daytona regarding special needs children. And, you know, we've been talking about this and preparing, getting, you know, doing some things next door that had to be done to prepare for that. Finally, after talking about it for months, today it became a reality and we began a ministry to special needs children and special needs parents. And there was a video that I saw it's only a couple minutes, but it's a video that I believe really touches on the heart of friendship. We said that Jesus taught that a friend wants to abide with you, wants to spend time with you. And I want to share with you a video that involves an older teenager who thought he was just filling a class elective requirement. And he ended up getting involved in special needs at his school. And he ended up forming a very special friendship. And I want you, with a special needs young man, and I want you to notice how that an outsider observing that noticed that this older teenager wanted to spend time. He said he's taking time with him. And I want you to watch this video real quick. I believe it's very applicable to today.
I first started serving with special needs for an elective space just at school with Circle of Friends. You know, we can come mentor them and help them in their everyday lives. A lot of special needs kids kind of have their guards up. And the way to get in is persistence. They will see that you do care about them. I really prayed about it, and God kept me on the right path, and I'm glad I did, because through that I met Cole. Cole loves every single sport, and I worked with him on the soccer team, so he saw me more outside of school there. Football really stole his heart, and the special needs teacher here noticed that. I felt a personal responsibility for his safety while he was out there, as well as getting him acclimated into the program. So just like helping him along, helping show him what he needs to be doing every day as far as drills and keeping him doing what the team was doing and making sure I kept him safe in the process.
You know, seeing a kid like Jake gives me great encouragement. I mean, he's given up a lot of his time to spend time with Cole and to walk around with him and, you know, to be his buddy.
I remember one time, there was a day in football, he was kind of off doing his own thing, and he did a couple things that might have been a tad dangerous for him. So I went up to him and I said, Cole, I need you to listen to me. I need you to respect what I'm saying. And he loved to call me Jakey, and he was like, you know, Jakey, I'm sorry. He said, and I love you. And I was like, you know, Cole, I love you too, buddy. And I'm really just then, I thought, I'm really making a difference in this kid's life.
Cole once looked at me one time when we were driving down the road, and he said, Mommy, I have no friends. Nobody's my friend. And as a mom, that breaks your heart. Since he's been involved in the football program, he has friends. That's something that could make any mom cry, to see their son being included
I think the special needs kids have done way more for me than I could ever do for them. They've taught me about real, genuine friendship. Just the simple decision to decide to work in the special needs class was such a monumental choice in my life looking back, even though then I thought it was just such a simple choice to choose an elective. And through that, I can see the grace of God is real.
Isn't that awesome, church? And you know, as I watched that, I noticed that that coach said he spent time with him. And what I want you to see this morning is what an example that is of Jesus Christ, that a friend wants to spend time with you. And does Jesus Christ want to be your friend, yes or no? Yes, he does. Does he want to spend time with you, yes or no? Whenever you go to him in prayer, he's not bothered. He loves that. He loves it. He wants to be a part of your everyday life. He wants to be there with you Monday when you head to work. He wants to be there for you to talk to when you're struggling at work or struggling at school or struggling at college or struggling with temptation or struggling with people that maybe want to drag you down. He wants to be that true friend. He wants to be there for you. A true friend wants to spend time with you. You know, he doesn't want you to just put him on a shelf when you go home today. No, he wants to be a vibrant part of your life, and he wants to flow his life. He doesn't want you to end up like that. He wants to flow his life from himself to you. But by the way, do we just need his life on Sunday, or do we need it on Monday too? Amen? Yeah. And he wants to be there for you every day and be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Number two, the second thing I want you to see is that a true friend loves you unconditionally. I want to look at verse number 9. If you'll turn over there with me, look at verse number 9. It says, as the Father, he tells his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he says, continue ye in my love. Verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Christ made it very clear in no uncertain terms that he loved these 12 men he was talking to. And he wasn't afraid to say it, and he meant it. And you know, I was touched on that video when Jake, the older boy, said to Cole, the special needs boy, Cole, he said, Cole said to him, he said, I love you, Jakey. And Jake said, I love you too, Cole. And Jesus Christ was not afraid to look at these other men and say, I love you guys. And he meant it. Because listen, not only did Jesus love them, he loved them unconditionally. I want to remind you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross and was crucified, that these same friends kind of left him high and dry. They forsook Jesus Christ in his hour of need. They fled, man. They bailed. They ran. And I wonder this morning, have any of you had a really good friend let you down? Raise your hand if a friend's ever let you down. And those of you who aren't raising your hand just have never had a friend, I guess, because friends let you down, man. They always do. Listen, my best friend's in the building right now, and that's my wife. And I mean that. She is my best friend in the world. And I'll ask her right in front of you, have I ever let you down? She said yes. You were supposed to say no, never. You're the exception. No, I'm not the exception. I've let her down many times. She's my best friend, but I've let her down. And these guys let Jesus down. They were human, though. They bailed, man. They failed and bailed. In fact, Peter took it a step further. Peter always did, amen. And the apostle Peter, man, he is like, he not only forsook Christ, the Bible says he's warming himself by the fire, kind of close by. And they asked him, they're like, you know that Jesus, right? No, I don't know him. Later on, yeah, you know that. You're with that Jesus, right? I'm not with him, and I don't know him. And then they asked him a third time, and he cursed and he swore. And the Bible says he cursed. He was a sailor, right? He cursed like a sailor because he was a sailor. And he cursed and swore like a sailor, and he said, I don't know the man. And the Bible says in Luke that when the third time came and he denied Jesus Christ, the third time that Jesus Christ and Peter's eyes met across the courtyard. And Jesus Christ looked into Peter's eyes as he denied even knowing Jesus, his friend. And yet Jesus turned away, and he went anyway, and he died on the cross for Peter. And he died on the cross for you and me, knowing the worst in all of us. After his resurrection from the dead, the angel said, "Tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus will meet them in Galilee." Then Jesus comes to where the guys are, and he shows up, and he says to them, I love this, instead of ripping them, "You guys forsook me. You guys fled. You guys are a bunch of cowards." No, here's what he said. Jesus Christ meets with them after he rose from the dead, after he died on the cross. He says, "Peace be unto you, peace. As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And what he was in essence saying is, hey guys, I want you to know I still love you and I still have big plans for you. In your handout, it says that Christ loved his friends even after they failed. He came to them. He reconfirmed that relationship he had with them. A true friend loves you even when you mess up, even when you drop the ball. And you know, we cannot earn more of his love through good behavior. You can't earn more of Jesus' love through good behavior, nor do you forfeit his love when we fail. Now, having said that, it will bother us when we fail him because he's our friend. So when we mess up and we disappoint Christ, that hurts us. The Bible says that when Peter cursed and swore, he denied him, their eyes met, Jesus went to the cross, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. It bothered Peter that he acted that way. And it will bother us when we do wrong after we know the Lord is our Savior, but it does not change his love for us. Did you know that once you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's eternal? Once you accept Christ as your Savior, a friendship and a relationship is formed that will never be severed. Why? Because the Bible teaches that that relationship is sealed with the love of Jesus Christ. And in your handout, I want you to look at Romans 8. It's at the bottom of your handout. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Turn your hand out over and we'll continue. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, that's love right there. He said, nothing will ever separate you from my love. Are you thankful for that today, church? This truth has gotten me through some really tough times in my life, knowing that I have an unconditional love relationship with Jesus Christ, even through all the bad times and all the bad stuff. And when I say bad stuff, I'm talking about bad stuff I've put the Lord through because I've disappointed him. And through all the bad times I've been through and all the bad stuff I've put him through, he loves me and he doesn't hold my past against me. That's a true friend. But number three, a true friend will sacrifice for you. A true friend will sacrifice for you. I read a true story. It was a little blurb I read. I thought it was kind of cute. And it was about a lady who she said, whenever I would sit in church, there'd be a family in front of me. They had a bunch of kids. And the dad would always give each kid a dollar bill to put in the offering plate every Sunday. She said, one Sunday, one of the little kids brought a friend with him to church. I don't know if it was friend day or what, but he brought a friend with him to church. And the dad gave each of his kids a dollar. And the one little boy that had his friend with him as the offering plate was coming said he didn't even hesitate. He said without pause, said he didn't know any better. The little boy took the dollar his dad gave him, ripped it in two, and gave half to his friend to be able to put in the offering plate, you know, so he'd have something to put in, you know. There you go. And I thought, man, friend sacrifice, amen. True friend sacrifice. You know, some friends sponge off of their friends, and that's bad. That's not good. That's not a way to keep friends, by the way. Some friends will sponge off of their friends. They just drain them for every ounce of life they can. and they never really give back in the relationship. And of course, that's very unhealthy. But what I want you to see is that a friendship with Christ is not that way. He's not going to drain you. Like I said, he wants to impart life. Look at John 15, look at verse 13. This verse keeps coming up in the service. But it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, hey guys, he said, love and friendship means sacrifice. And that's exactly what he did. In John 10, Jesus said, I laid down my life for you. And then later on in John 10, you know what he said? This is so cool. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Jesus Christ did not use his power, and he had all power, but he did not use his power and he did not use his influence to get what he could from his friends, to use them. He gave to them. He sacrificed for them. Look in your handout at 1 John 3:16. I've got it typed out in your handout. It says, hereby perceive we. Hereby perceive. In other words, here's how we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This was not something imposed on Christ. It was embraced by Christ. I want you to look at that cross, and I want you to understand that when he said, I lay down my life, no man takes it from me, I lay it down of myself, he meant exactly what he said. He's the resurrection and the life. The only way they could kill him is if he allowed it. If he willingly, freely, voluntarily gave up his life to die for our sins, because his life had never been forfeited by sin. The wages of sin is death, but he never sinned. Therefore, death had no hold over him. Death had no sentence upon him. Death could not seize him because he never sinned one time. That's why if he was going to die, it would have to be him freely, voluntarily giving his life for you and I. He was not dying for some sin on his part. He was dying for our sins. The Bible says, and it's in your handout, 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Notice how he willingly took our place. We deserve to be on that cross, but look what it says. It says in your handout that Jesus died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Did you know that Jesus Christ died for you too? I want you to look in your handout at the next passage, and I want you to have your pen ready, and I want you to write this down. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for, and I want you to write in the word all, if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were all in the same boat. We were all sinners. And then it says, again, and that he died for all. Let's bring that up on the screen, that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let me ask you a question. When the Bible says he died for all, does that include me? Does that include you? This is not an exclusive club. This is not some kind of special group. The Bible says he died for, say it with me, all. He died for you. He loves you. He wants a friendship with you. Christ wants to be a part of your life. And once you receive him as your Savior and you enter into that relationship with him, the Bible says, and we just read it, it's at the end of that verse, it says that once we receive him, henceforth, look at the end of that verse, henceforth it says, we don't live just for ourselves anymore. We live unto him which died for us and rose again. Once you realize this and you accept his friendship, friendship's a two-way street, you will want to live for him. You'll want to serve him. You see, a friend always wants to bring out the best in you. If you've got a friend that's bringing out the worst in you, that's probably not a very good friend, is it? If you got a friend and when you're with them, they tend to always bring out the worst in you, That is not a true friend. You've got a very wrong view of friendship, because that's not a true friend. A true friend wants you to succeed. They want what's best for you. They want to bring out the best in you. That's the kind of friend you want. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. And in your handout, it says that when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, he begins to change you from the inside out. You get a new perspective. You get a new purpose. You get new priorities. You begin to see life clearly, and he brings out the best in you. He's a true friend. Look up here. You see that dead branch? Listen, that's not what he's about. Jesus Christ isn't about that. He's not about you just being all dried up and dead and brittle and fragile. No, Jesus Christ wants to bring out the best in you. He wants to flow his life to you. We said that a friend wants to spend time with you. He wants to abide in you and you in him. He wants to flow his life to you. Not only that, we said that he loves you unconditionally. Not only that, he sacrificed himself for you. What better friend could you have? Jesus Christ is a true friend. But the question today is this: will you accept his friendship? Can you force your friendship on somebody else, yes or no? No. By very definition, a friendship means that two people both want it. You cannot force your friendship on somebody else. Jesus Christ will not force his friendship on you. You have to open up your heart. Remember? He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if you open up, I'll come into you and sup with you. I'll be your friend. But he won't make you open the door. He won't make you open up your heart. You have to make that choice to willingly accept him and say, Lord, I want you in my life. I believe you died for me, my sins. You sacrificed for me. I want your friendship. Will you accept that friendship today? If you've never done that, today would be a great day to do it. You can do it today. You can, in the privacy of your heart, do that.